As we go back to the Auburn Bank phone line, and joining us now from the Washington Post, Chelsea Janes, kind enough to join us. Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Sorry about the phone issues.
Not a problem at all. Excited to chat with you. We've just been recapping how much fun we had at the end of this baseball season watching the Atlanta Braves go on and win the World Series here in Braves country. What was it like for you to be on hand covering this World Series between Atlanta and Houston?
No, it's funny. I think as someone who spent a lot of time covering the Nationals and, you know, followed the Braves kind of closely through the National League East, you know, they weren't a team you looked at and said they're going to be World Series champions, but you knew they'd be good. And then to kind of see the way they came together and just kind of the joy and honestly the gratitude that they all seemed to show to be where they were in the World Series was just a lot of fun. You know, it's not always that way. They just all seemed really grateful to be there, and they played like it. It was endearing.
Chelsea, it feels like they mimicked something that the Nationals did just a few short years ago, where they weren't necessarily the best team at all throughout most of the season, but they became the hottest team in baseball. Like, what does it take to become, just have all those ingredients fit at just the right time to override some of the sheer talent of these other teams?
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, Alex Anthopoulos, obviously the GM of the Braves, he was talking at the World Series and he said, you know, I still don't know what it takes to get to a World Series. Like, I don't know what it takes. Like, this just kind of happened. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, chemistry and how, you know, all these things that we can't really measure, and it sounds corny, but, you know, I've even talked to people like Max Scherzer about it, who says, you know, you can't count out a good clubhouse, you know, because all things being equal, or even talent not being equal, you know, these are long seasons and they spend so much time together. And by the end, like, you know, if you're kind of, your heart's in it, there's a difference there. And I think, you know, a team like the Dodgers, for example, a lot of kind of people who come in and go over the years, there's not kind of like the same, I don't know, emotional ties that you see in guys like Snitker and Freeman. You know, I think it matters. I think that stuff matters down the stretch. And it certainly did for the Braves, and I think it did for the Nats as well.
Looking at some of those pickups, mainly with Soler, obviously he ends up being the World Series MVP, but how big of a piece of that puzzle of all the guys that came in, how big of a piece was Soler for the Atlanta Braves?
I mean, just totally massive. Like, you know, obviously, but it's interesting, you know, he turned things around there in a way that he's been good, and he was always someone that people thought would be really good and the kind of player who could change a team like that. And he just kind of came to life there. And it's really fascinating. You know, he, Rosario, others just talked about the kind of comfort they found there. And if I'm him, like, I stay, you know, I find a way to stay there because whatever happened there kind of worked for him. He seems comfortable. You know, he was out for like the entire NLCS and came back and, you know, pinch hit double, I think it was in his first, you know, it's just a comfort level that's evident in all of them. And he really kind of came into his own. And I remember when he came back from COVID in the NLCS, like, everyone was so happy to see him. His teammates were kind of all over him, and it was noticeable. I think he really fit in well there.
Going back to how you felt, you said about the clubhouse environment and everything like that, I definitely have to agree with you. Like, the culture that was built around Atlanta and the way that the team kind of embodied the city, and even with the pieces that were added in, you know, like in Freddie's speech and during the parade when he said, you know, we all did it. Like, we all came together and did it. I definitely felt like, you know, I was like, you know, I'm from Atlanta, so this was big for me. So I was like, yes, we did do it. You know, this was awesome. But it was a big time thing for me, definitely. And just, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, like, as someone who didn't grow up in the Atlanta area, and like, you know, I think we forget, like, I personally forget, you certainly do not, just kind of how big the Braves reach is, you know? And it was like, you know, everyone always thinks, okay, you don't have like LA or New York or Boston in the playoffs, like, you're missing out on, you know, these huge markets. But like, the way that, I mean, I could not believe like the numbers they had at the parade,
right.
People that were outside, you know, outside Truist Park every game. And it's like, I'd get there 6 hours before the game and there was, you know, I mean, thousands of people sitting there, and not even to go into the game, just to kind of be outside. And it was really cool, and you could tell everybody really wanted it. And it's like kind of the perfect team for that feeling, because they were just like so endearing and so grateful. Like, everyone was just so grateful.
Now I want to go back to that World Series though, and you mentioned the atmosphere in Atlanta. Game five in Atlanta, the atmosphere is probably unlike anything Atlanta has seen for a game in well, I know in many, many years, but you just really felt like the Braves had it. It was in the bag, and then it didn't happen. In your mind, was that it for the Braves? Did you think the Astros were most likely going to win those next two and steal one from the Braves, or did you think the Braves still had a chance?
So I for sure thought they were done, I'll be honest. Yeah. I just like felt like they were going to run out of gas. But the Astros were running out of gas too, and you know, I felt like it would be so deflating for them to like have been that close, you know, to finishing it in front of their fans. And obviously, it didn't matter. And you know, you should have known better, or I should have, because all year, you know, they just didn't. Nothing kind of held them down very long, and it didn't again. I mean, it was really impressive, and I think the Astros were kind of on their last legs, literally and figuratively. But and the Braves just didn't let them get back into it. It was kind of remarkable.
And so now we look at this offseason, and there are so many free agents, both just in Major League Baseball as a whole. It feels like it's a great class, but also we'll start with Atlanta before looking at some of the other big names. What should, in your opinion, they do with this outfield? We've heard Alex Anthopoulos say that they will increase the budget a little bit. Still not going to be to Yankees or Dodgers proportions, but increase a little bit. How would you handle all the free agent questions for Atlanta?
I think it all starts with you know, Freeman. Obviously, I think you have to get it done there, and I think they will. He's been so clear about wanting to be there. They've been so clear about wanting to have him. I don't see how that falls apart. But you know, I think you bring back people that have shown they can perform at their best there. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the move. I don't know if they feel like they, you know. But if you look around that infield, who are you replacing? Nobody. You get to add Ronald Acuna Jr. for free. You know, I think for them, they might need a few more starters, you know. I mean, I know they have a lot of young guys that have been good, but, you know, I think you just kind of add around the pieces you have. I mean, Acuna is like a free superstar, you know, and you pick a couple of those outfielders you think fit and you keep them. But I don't think they have to go do that much, because they're going to get better just by virtue of the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to come back. It's absolutely wild that they did it without him.
And then as we look as cross Major League Baseball, a lot of shortstops in particular are free agents. The Dodgers as a team have a lot of free agents, both on the mound and in the field. What team or what player are you keeping an eye on in this free agency cycle?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm really curious about what Corey Seager is going to get and Carlos Correa as shortstops. I think they're going to set the tone for a lot of markets to come, and you know, what does their market mean for a guy like Dansby Swanson in a few years? Like, he's obviously not quite there offensively, but, you know, I just think it'll be interesting to kind of see where that money ends up. But also starting pitching. I mean, Max Scherzer is available, Clayton Kershaw, all these guys who you know, Verlander, you kind of look at and say, well, they're probably a little too old, but, you know, if they're healthy, they're, you know, rotation-changing pitchers who can mold young pitchers. And, like, if I'm Atlanta, for example, somebody like that feels, you know, like Charlie Morton was this year. Like, those guys really matter. And so, you know, I think if you can get in on that bidding, you got to do it. And if they can expand their payroll, they might not even need to expand it that much to bring in one of those guys.
Chelsea James is with the Washington Post, and she's joining us here on Sports Call today. You can follow on Twitter at Chelsea_James. Last time you were on the show with us, Chelsea, we noticed in your Twitter bio that you said you were once booed at Turner Field. Who knew that you would end up there back in the World Series, this time at Truist Park? I would imagine, was your experience a little bit better this time?
It was, and the last time was my own fault because I just, like, couldn't throw a ball to a friend successfully. But I loved Turner Field, and I, you know, it was great at Truist Park, too. A little newer, everything's kind of fancy. They brought us Waffle House, so, yeah, no complaints.
Now that baseball season's over, Chelsea, what are you looking forward to?
You know, other than sleep, I would say I'm not really eager to kind of see where everything goes. I feel like with the collective bargaining agreement it's up, there's probably some kind of fascinating rule changes in play. And, you know, it's just kind of fun to, like, realize that what the Braves did and what the Nats did is so possible. Because we go into these seasons, these off seasons, being like, well, this team's going to win it all. And it never really materializes. Like, anybody kind of has a chance, and you don't know what deal is going to be the one that changes it. And I don't know, I just find that kind of fascinating and gives you a reason to kind of pay attention all winter.
Well, we'll be sure to follow your coverage again all throughout the Washington Post this offseason. Enjoy some sleep, though. That's important, Chelsea, so make sure you take care of that, okay? And thank you for the time again today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.